allowing me to be able to be a mouthpiece for the Lord in this revival. I thank you very, very much. And I thank you, family, for your support here and out there in Facebook League. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for your support. As we have set the atmosphere of faith, it has been exciting. It has been an exciting journey of faith these last 3 weeks. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm so excited for a number of reasons. And it's the last day. Talk about tiredness. Yeah, that plays a part in it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But you know what I always say, there's a blessing in your presence.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we know where our theme scripture comes from in this revival, and that is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1. And it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Drop down to verse 6. And without what?
Faith.
And without what?
Faith.
And without what?
Faith.
Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe. You don't have a choice. You have to believe that he is. By you believing that, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That means I'm not just seeking him every other day. That means I'm not just going to seek him this month and I'm going to take a month off. That means I'm diligently seeking him every day. Every day, every day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That is what happens when we have faith. Faith is, let's just recap. How about that? We're going to recap. The definition of faith, confidence, trusting, belief. You are sure and you are definitely certain of the things of God, and you don't even have to have proof. That's your faith. Don't even have, I already know he's going to do it. You seen him do it before? No, I have not seen him before do it, but I know he's going to do it. That's our faith. That's what we do on a daily basis. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then the atmosphere. Atmosphere. It's a surrounding of influence or environment. In my environment, I have to create, I have to set the atmosphere. It's in my environment of faith. How do I do that? Through my praise, through my prayer, and it's hard, but through my patience. Jesus, I told y'all last week to pray for me, because we was going to be preaching on patience today. Woo! Now, in creating the set, setting the atmosphere of faith, us as born-again believers, one of our biggest challenges is having patience. That's one of our biggest challenges. God tells us three things. He tells us yes, no, and wait. Yeah, he tells us that. In the beginning, he told Adam, yes, I will bless you because it is not good for man He told Adam, no, do not eat of the fruit of knowledge, good and evil. Mm-hmm. He said it to Adam first. Okay, guys? Yeah, he did. Yeah. And then he says, wait. 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 Hold on. I'm going to bless you. Even after your sin. But you better wait. We got to do some self-checking. Amen?
Amen.
We find it hard for the third one. We find it hard for us to wait on the Lord. In our inconsistency of the relationship that we are supposed to have with God, He gives us the tools that we need to fortify our faith and our foundation of the Word of God. He gives us the Bible, which is the Word of God, our praise, which is our worship to God, and our witnessing. Two is the number of witness. So if I come to you and says God is good, you're going to be a witness to that and agree. Amen?
Amen.
But see, we're not consistent in using our tools that He has for us, that He gives to us to fortify our foundation of faith. And God says, how can I bless you if you won't have a relationship with me? If you won't praise me? If you won't communicate with me, which is prayer? And if you will not be patient and wait on me. In Ezra, Nehemiah, and Daniel, all three books, chapter 9, I suggest you go back and read it. Now we are talking about the Israelites, God's chosen people. And for their disobedience, He has led them into captivity. That's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, in Romans chapter 1, we are in the same predicament as the Israelites were at that time. Because the Israelites didn't want to have that relationship. They did not listen to the prophets who heard from God personally. They wanted to do their own thing. They didn't want to wait. They didn't want to adhere. And they definitely didn't want to obey. So God says, I'm going to let y'all fall into the hands of the people that I told you was going to have the land. Okay. Thank you. Sounds better. So God allowed His people to be captured and put into bondage by even those that were not of the same faith, tribe, community. That's Old Testament. New Testament in Romans chapter 1 is the same thing. See, we don't have priests and prophets that we have to go in and intercede for us. Because of Christ, we're able to go in for ourselves. But because we refuse to adhere, obey, and wait on the Lord, He said, I'm just going to turn them over to themselves. That's even worse. Turn them over to themselves. This is what we are dealing with, what we're battling with today. But beloved, I got some good news for you. You know I do, right? All right. So, in Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 30 and 31, flip there. It says, however, thou didst bear with them for many years. That meant God was patient with His people for many years. And admonished them by the Spirit. what thus said the Lord. Amen. Therefore thou didst give them into the hand of the peoples of the land, which is what I just said. Nevertheless, though, and that was then and that is today, nevertheless, in thy great compassion, which means in his great mercy, thou didst not make an end of them or forsake them, which means he did not kill them, nor did he leave them.
Yeah.
He let them be turned over because, you know, as parents, when our children do not obey us, what do? We have to give them chastisement. We have to give them correction and reproof. That is what God does with us. The same thing we do with our children. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. For thou art a gracious and compassionate God. He's a merciful God. I'm glad. No matter how much I have done, no matter how much I did not adhere, no matter how much I was disobedient, and no matter how much I did not wait on the Lord, he's never left me nor he forsake me.
Come on now.
Never. And that's how it has always been since the beginning of time. Don't y'all see, can't y'all feel the love? The love has been there since the beginning. And it's still there today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's why I am reminded about Isaiah chapter 40 and 31. Yes, I am reminded on a daily basis because it says, yet those who wait for the Lord, that means stand still. That means be still. Amen? Will gain new strength. Your new strength is in the word of God and changing your mindset. They will mount up with wings like eagles. So no matter what pit you're in, knowing that the Lord is with you, you're going to rise up out of those ashes of your circumstances and your situation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's good news. They will run and not get tired. As long as I'm running for God, I don't get tired. You know, some people do things, and then when they run, it's like, whoo, child, y'all go ahead. I catch up with y'all. The blessing of it is that when you're running for God, you're running at your pace.
Yeah.
I'm not running at his pace, and Lord knows he can't run at mine. But we're running at our own pace for Christ. Okay? Now remember, it says those that wait upon him. See, these are your benefits for waiting on the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It says you shall, and they will walk and not be weary. So whether we can run, whether we can walk, whether we can roll, whatever we're doing for Christ, we will not be weary. We will not wait. We will not faint if we wait on him. Amen?
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Well, we're talking about patience today. Jesus, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're talking about patience today. Amen?
Amen.
Beloved, listen to this. Patience brings about peace in your perseverance. So through our praise, we had three W's. Your worship, your walk, and your witness. In our prayer, we had three R's. Recite, remember, and repeat. In our patience, we have three P's. Patience, peace, persevere. Keep going. Keep going. And exercise patience. We have to exercise patience. Beloved, why do we want Christ to be patient with us, but we can't be patient? I mean, with almost everything. We're not patient with God. We're not patient with our blessings that's coming forth. We're not patient on our job. Lord. We're not patient in our relationships. Right. We don't have any patience. Lord. But I'm reminded in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Now here, Jesus gives a parable about the servant who owed some money to his Lord. And he owed him big time. I mean, mass money. Everything. And he fell down at his feet and he says, Lord, have patience on me. I don't owe you, but if you would have patience, I would pay you every dime. If you have patience on me, I'll repay you every dime. And his Lord says, go. Your debt has been forgiven. Isn't that a blessing?
Lord.
No matter what we have done, that our debt is forgiven.
Amen.
By our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's how patient he is with us.
Yeah.
But see, here's the flip side of it. Because us as born-again believers, we forget that someone was patient on us, and we don't want to be patient to nobody else.
Amen.
And that's the second part of that parable. See, the one that got blessed and his debt was forgiven, well, he too had a servant. And that servant owed him. And as born-again believers, we do the same thing. We forget where we came from.
Right.
Now, this servant is like, oh, no, 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 no. I want all mine. I want all my cheese right now. All of it right now.
Right.
Matter of fact, judges, police, come and take him and throw him in the dungeon until he pay me back. Ooh. Ouch. That hurts in my remembrance because I remember when I was not as patient with someone as God was patient with me. We can't be hypocritical. We are all a prayer away from insanity. We are all a prayer away from addiction. We are all a prayer away from homelessness, joblessness. We are all a prayer away from life and death. We can't be hypocritical. So let's not forget that much is asked, much is required. We asking for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to forgive us. Have patience on me, Lord. I'm a work in progress. What you progressing to? Having some patience. Yeah. So we have to remember to have patience for those. Everybody is not going to be where you are. Everybody is not where you are in your faith. Some people are still drinking milk. And some of us are still drinking milk. And some of us are still drinking milk. And I keep saying that because if we are not applying the word of God in our lives, it's kind of falling on deaf ears. Because of what we're learning and the word of God, we have to apply it to our lives. That's the only way that people are going to know who you are and whose you are. So if you come to church every day and you be learning in the word of God, you studying every day, you're in the word of God, and then you go out and you go to the grocery store, and that little boy who was not paying attention rolled over your foot with that cart. And you tried to string him up, and anybody else that came around you asking you why you trying to string him up. We are not producing. We are not being fruitful or multiplying. And And that's what we're supposed to do with our lives as born-again believers. We are to be fruitful and multiply. And your fruitfulness and your multiplying is, I am a child of God and I am adhering to the word of God the best of my ability, and I want somebody to do the same as me.
Yeah.
I want you to do the same as me. I want you to be fruitful and multiply. No, we're not talking about having children. We are multiplying as ambassadors for Christ. That's the multiplication there. Believer times believer times believer times believer times believer. Do you know how that works, right?
Amen.
We multiply. The fruitfulness is the godliness in you. Amen. Amen. Get a Lord a hand clap of praise. So in Matthew chapter 18, we're talking about forgiveness and patience. We have to. So because the one who was forgiven, he went and had his servant thrown in jail until his debt was paid. And guess what happened? Understand, God does not mock. Whatever you sow, you're gonna reap. I'm paraphrasing out of the word of God. But that one that was forgiven at first, his Lord found out what he had did to his servant. Don't think what you doing in the dark is not going to come to light.
Amen.
Come, his Lord came, found out what he did to his servant, and he came back and he threw him even further. Even further up under the jail. We can't be hypocrites in our journey of faith. Amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, you got to have patience with the word of God. Be patient. Don't be in such a hurry. Amen.
Amen.
Can't be in such a hurry. So, in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 8, talks about the parable of the sower, sowing seeds. And then Luke 8, 11 through 15 is the explanation of the parable. So it's the parable of the sower. So, you know, there's a sower that has some seeds and they wanted to plant it in the ground. And the seeds that he planted, you know, some of it fell on a rock. You know, some of it fell amongst the weeds. And then some fell on good soil. So understanding what the seed meant is twofold. Number one, the seed means the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
We sowing the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so we know who our adversary is. Our adversary wants to keep us from the word of God. Who is our adversary? Anything that distracts you at that moment is an adversary of mine. As I said it last week, you know, you want to set that time of prayer. And then it seems like everything tries to come upon you and try to distract you from giving that communication with your Lord. Well, see, that's what the adversary does. The enemy that's in me tries to keep me from studying the word of God. And not just the enemy that's in me, but the adversary, those that have distractions around you. We can get distracted as well. Amen?
Amen.
But let's press it. Because when you fall on, when the adversary has you being distracted, well, that's when the word of God falls on a rock. Some of us are like rocks. Okay? We receive the word of God. We get excited about the word of God. But we not rooted in the word of God.
Amen.
That means anything that I go through is not going to sway me from the word of God. I'm rooted. I'm planted in the word of God. We have to stop being rocks. Itchy ears. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then there are some people who are like the seeds that are commingling with the thorns. You know how you, when you plant your, you know how you plant your gardens and you got this beautiful garden coming up, and if you go away for a week and come back, you see all these weeds around it and everything. Yeah. And if you don't pluck up those weeds and everything, it's going to mess up everything that you have planted that's looking so beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, those weeds have roots too. They get up under. And you have to remember that the word of God that you have that is implanted in you, no matter what you're going through, life's riches, your challenges, anything that's being challenged in your life that's coming to choke the life, the word of God out of you, you cannot let it happen.
Amen.
Come on now.
This is the seed. The word of God is the seed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Don't let nobody choke the life out of you. See, that's what weeds do. Weeds come and choke you. You know, on the surface and up under the surface. Lord, things that you don't see that's going on. Amen? Get a lot of hands up. Pray. And then you have that good soil that the seed lands on. Good soil. The good soil is no matter what, no matter who, no matter why, I'm still going to be planted. I'm still going to produce. I'm going to produce good crops.
Yeah.
I'm going to be fruitful and multiply.
Amen.
The word of God, that's my life. No matter what, I'm not going to be swayed. I'm not going to be plucked out.
Amen.
I'm not going to be choked to death. I am going to produce good fruit.
Amen.
That is the seed. That is the parable of the sower. We are all a sower. Let's sow good seeds on the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Woo!
While I am in the seed mode, this right here, co-worker of mine, she was talking about her daughter. She got something for her daughter while she was at Frankenmuth. And this right here says faith. Now, up under it, it is a mustard seed. Mm-hmm. Mustard seed. Mustard seed is about that big.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back in the day when Jesus was talking about the mustard seed, that was like the smallest seed there was to be planted. However, it's not the smallest seed today. Okay? But in Matthew 17:20, which is another parable, well, it's not a parable, but there was a young child who was having seizures, but they was having seizures because they was demonic, they was possessed. Okay? And the woman went to Jesus, was like, look, Jesus, I need you to save my child. I went to your disciples, and they couldn't cast them out. Jesus is upset at this time, because he's like, look, I've been teaching and teaching and teaching. I taught y'all first, and y'all still not getting it? How much longer do I got to stay here for you guys to get it? Now, he goes to the mother and discloses the mustard seed of faith. All you got to have is a little bit of faith. He will take care of the rest. That's it. You know what your mustard seed is? Praise, prayer, patience. That is all your mustard seed. Just that little bit of faith. God is going to produce. He's going to show up and produce any and everything that you have need of. Amen? what you need to do is you need to be persistent in your prayer, praise, and patience. You need to be persistent in setting your atmosphere of faith. And you need to be consistent. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Ooh, God is great. Give him a hand clap of praise. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, Peter is giving us instruction on how to endure what you're going through with patience and persistence and persevering. Because I'm believing he was reminded about how he could not be persistent when Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was being ready to be offered up. Remember, Jesus told him to stay awake, for the hour is coming. I mean, he's like, look, I done taught y'all everything. I need y'all to stay awake with me because, see, my human side is coming in. I'm totally divine, but my human side is coming in because I'm going to have to go to Calvary. So can y'all just like stay awake, please, stay awake. Stay awake for me. I got to go up here to pray, but I need y'all to stay down here and stay awake. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. But what Peter is saying is he's telling you, he's reminding us of what would happen if we were to persevere. What would happen if we would just remain in Christ? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I like 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at proper time. Casting all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He don't want you to prosper in Christ.
My God.
But resist him, firm in your what? Faith. Knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. So y'all understand something. We're not the only ones that are suffering for Christ. We're not the only ones that's going through. So please stop saying, poor is me, woe is me. We're not the only one that's going through. He already told us and gave us revelatory knowledge and said, what I have done, you guys going to do greater. Amen. That means we're going to suffer a lot longer.
Amen.
For Christ.
Yeah.
So we have to remember, recognize, and realize that this is
just a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is a test.
Yes, it is. A test of endurance. So please, beloved, endure. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And after you have suffered for a little while, verse 10, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you.
Amen.
Being in him has its rewards. Just like being without him has its consequences. The Israelites, they have consequences for not being in him. Us as born again believers have consequences of not being in him. And if all I got to do is suffer for a little while, I'm going to stay in him. Because I'd rather suffer for a little while than in him than to be gnashing of my teeth without him.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He's worthy. is worthy.
Yeah.
So, let me share this with you. God will move for you in your situation when you're ready to go to the next level. Let me say that again. God will move for you in your situation when you're ready to go to the next level. So don't question why God isn't moving. Ask yourself why you aren't moving in your faith. See, God doesn't want us to fail. He doesn't want us to fail. And we want to be moved. We want to go to the next level. But you know, sometimes it's just not feasible for us to be able to move at that time. So don't question God why you're not moving for me. You know I want that new job. You know I want that new house. Why are you not moving for me, God? And he's sitting up there saying, because you're not ready. Why aren't you standing on your faith and being patient in your own circumstances, in your own situation? Why would you go into something where you're not going to be able to hold on to it? You're not going to be able to ascertain it and keep it. Remember what God has for you. Can't nobody take away, right? Not even you. But you have to be patient. You need to understand why you are where you are. Because he's preparing you for your next level. Go to James chapter 1. Starting at verse 2. It says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Well, you be mature in the things of God, not lacking anything. Why? Because Philippians chapter 4 tells us, Philippians chapter 4 says, in verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or understanding, shall guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. See, we don't lack anything. Remember in Matthew chapter 6, he said, don't worry. I got you. If I can take care of the fowls, the birds, the bees, the seal, of the earth, of the sea, I got you. You are my precious creation. And I need you guys to understand that this is what he would have us to do. This is why we have to persevere in our patience. It will bring about peace. Trust me. I promise you it will. I promise you it does. It does. It brings about patience. Now, and even in us, what we're going through as born believers, be patient. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 12 through 22. The gist of that is all that he has given to you. Don't keep it for yourself. But like I said earlier, there are some people that are still on bread, and there are some people that are still on milk. Then be patient. Understand something. There are some people in your life that are not born-again believers. There are some people in your life that are atheists. There are some people in your life that are anti-Christ. There's some people in your lives that are Muslim, Buddhist. But you, you know. You know the truth.
Yeah.
And you know the light. I'm paraphrasing, but the word of God said, no man shall enter into the kingdom of heaven without going through me. Jesus is saying, I am the door. I am the door. Revelations 3 and 12 says, I stand at the door. And I knock. I'm a gentleman. I'm not kicking nothing down.
Lord,
I knock. And if you open up the door in your heart, I would come in and I would sup with you. And you sup with me. Mm-hmm. So remember, abide in me. Because I'm definitely going to abide in you.
Amen.
He's been saying that since the beginning. No matter how much we mess up, we know that he still has us. But beloved, remember, we got to be just as patient with those around us
mm-hmm.
as we want Christ to be patient with us.
Amen.
We don't always do what we're supposed to do at the time we're supposed to do it.
No.
And what's the first time we say, Lord, have mercy.
Yeah.
Mercy.
Yeah.
Withheld punishment. A lot of times, I was glad I went to bed early because I thought I was going to get a whooping. I knew I was supposed to get a whooping. She said she was going to whoop me. And I thought if I went to bed early, she'd forget. Lo and behold, just as good as I like kind of, you know, because you'd be laying there on guard, right? Be like, put the cover on you like you sleep really, but you got one eye open and one ear open, listening and see if she coming. And just as soon as I like, bam, come in like bang, Ghostbusters. Come on. I ain't forgot. Have a seat right there in that chair. And don't you get up. Woo, that woman was a pistol. Hey, mom. But I'm thankful and grateful for the chastisement that I receive and the correction and the reproof that I received as a child, because I thought if it was good for me, it was good for mine. That's my daughter. And then that's a generational thing, but how many times have we gotten in trouble and we didn't get chastised or reproved for? My mother always said, I ain't gonna get you every time, but I'm gonna get you for old and new. But how many times did we receive that from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? When that individual asked us to pray for them, and we was just too busy dealing with our own situation, that we didn't have time to pray for them. Well, how many times did they call you on the phone? And we didn't want to answer because we just didn't feel like being bothered that time. We have to remember. Now, what if God did that to us? Like Smokey Norford say, I need you now. Lord, I need you now. I need you right now. And what if he said, leave a message. I'll get back to you when I can. We have to remember that the same thing, the same love that he gives us, we have to give it away. We have to produce that same kind of love that he has for us. We got to produce it with everyone else. That is our mission. He promised to never leave us or nor forsake us. So let's remember, let's walk in that promise.
Amen.
Walk in that promise. I promise you he's coming back. I promise you, Pastor, that is my favorite saying.
I promise you.
line up vertically. And our relationships that goes around horizontally, there's nothing for you to be confused about. See, God is not the author of confusion. So if our relationship with Him is not confusing, any relationship that you have horizontal shouldn't be confusing either.
All right now.
So if you have to sit up here and question if that person that you're dealing with is having a relationship with their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as you are, that's probably not a relationship you probably want to be in. And I'm talking about relationship with your friends. You know, some of my friends, I can't even have that relationship anymore. Because I know that they don't have that relationship with their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as I do. You know how I know? Because they wouldn't talk about me still.
Come on now,
they wouldn't be talking about me behind my back. They would not be looking for all of the negative things that's going on in my life. They would not be praising my shortfalls and my shortcomings. I know they don't have a relationship with their Jesus Christ like I do. Because see, I know what it's like to be without. I know what it's like to go hungry. I know what it's like to be in a turmoil of trials and tribulations that's going like this. I know what it's like.
Amen.
So I'm not going to bring you down further. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to lift you up. God, dog it, I'm going to pray for you.
Amen.
And then I'm going to ask you to forgive me. Because it probably was something I said at first thought. That's what you get. Forgive me. Pray for me because I was just right there human. 100%. Forgive me. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We are patient. For I came that you may have life and have life more abundantly. I gave my life. And all I want you to do is praise me. Praise me through your worship. Praise me through your walk. Praise me in the word that I have given to you. I have given you instruction on how to live this life. So honor me by keeping my statutes. Honor me by having the faith in me. Honor me by loving one another. For that is the greatest commandment that I give you. That is love, saith the Lord. Convict this world, but we are not of this world. Amen. And it says, 1 John chapter 2, starting with verse 20. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you all know this. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it. And because no lie is in the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ?
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Jump down to 24. As I just stated, as for you, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. From the beginning of your salvation.
Yes.
The word of God abides in you. And the Holy Ghost. Amen. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise which he himself made to us. What is it? Eternal life. In him. If we believe who he is, what he has done, and what he is doing today, we will have eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Remember this. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. Those are those Gnostic teachers that's on the radio, that's on the television, that's on YouTube, that's on Facebook. They will give you some itchy ear hearing information. But John, who walked with God, said, you got the Holy Ghost in you. See, that's why I'm talking. That's why I say, Father, thank you for the Holy Ghost, because it reminds us of who we are and whose we are. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I'm finishing with this. And it says, and as... Yes. And as for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you. That's the Holy Ghost. It's in us. And you have no need for anyone to teach you about Jesus and the Holy Ghost if they're not coming from the Word of God.
That's right.
See, the Holy Ghost gives us remembrance of what we're learning. And when we learn, and when we're getting ready to study, we ask the Lord to bless us with knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of his word so that we may apply it in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But as you, his anointing teaches you all about all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you abide in him. Set in the atmosphere of faith. Through praise, through prayer, and through patience. Trust me, he wants you to continue to shout at the top of your lungs of who you are and whose you are. And guess what? The life that we have abundant is rich. You know why we're so rich? Because we have Christ in us. Do you see how many rich people who don't have Christ in them? They're having a time. Mentally, physically, emotionally, He's going to bless you no matter what. But don't you dare compromise your life for anything that this world has to offer. This joy that I have, He gave it to me. He blessed me with it. That meant can't nobody take it away from me. And when I wake up in the morning with praise in my heart and on my lips for waking me up to see another day, that's the joy that I carry around every single day.
Amen.
And I have to pay for peace because I be wanting to go off on somebody. And I know that I can't because I'm not being a true representation of my Savior.
Yeah.
Remember, beloved, the atmosphere of faith, you have it every single day. And you set that atmosphere every single day. And you walk in that atmosphere every day.
Amen.
You believe in that atmosphere every day. Amen. Stand up and give the Lord an answer. I pray.